Good day, and welcome to iAccess Alpha's Buy-Side Best Ideas Summer Conference 2024. The next presenting company is Flotek Industries Incorporated. If you would like to ask a question during the webcast, you may do so at any point during the presentation by clicking on the Ask Question button on the left of your screen. Type your question into the box and hit the Send button to submit your questions. I'd now like to turn the floor over to today's host, Mr. Ryan Ezell, Chief Executive Officer of Flotek Industries Incorporated. Sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. We'd like to start by saying this is, we'll be presenting kind of an abbreviated deck from our current investor deck that's with the full deck available on our website. And thank you all for attending today. You know, currently, we believe Flotek offers quite a unique investment opportunity, as we are a company that's been in what we consider to be a turnaround scenario for the past 5 years, and now have returned onto a record improvement in profitability. And we believe this underscores what we've seen as our turnaround execution. We operate in two segments, with the market-leading oil and gas prescriptive chemistry solutions business has shown sustained growth over the past 3 years. And we also, by doing this and offering industry-leading technology, which improves overall production from enhanced reservoir performance. As part of this growth in the last 3 years and turnaround story, we've secured a long-term contract with one of the largest pressure pumping companies in the U.S., which is ProFrac, and represents a $2.1 billion 10-year contract, which is helping drive growth and profitability improvements at a sustained scale for the operations of our business. Additionally, we have market-disrupting real-time measurement applications from our newly acquired JP3 instrumentation, which uses near-infrared spectroscopy and also Raman technology to monitor hydrocarbon and gas flow in pipelines and chemistry that goes downhole for our operations. We've seen phenomenal growth in this business as we've transitioned it from a sensor technology company into what we consider to be a data as a service. And so from this aspect, you have a unique offering where we have synergy between our chemistry technologies and real-time chemistry measurements, with chemistry as a common value creation platform. As we look at these complementary structures, you know, we operate now, we've been public for a little over 25 years. We operate in multiple countries, with particular business here in North America land, Middle East and North Africa, and also in Latin America. Our home corporate office is here in Houston, Texas. A lot of our instrumentation and technology is backed by over 170 intellectual property patents towards sustainable chemistry, as well as we look at real-time data analytics. And we look at our Q1 2024 results, we've seen significant improvements in all profitability metrics. Looking at these a little bit more in detail, our net income improved year-over-year of $11 million, gross profit of almost $7 million, adjusted EBITDA of $8 million improvement year-over-year as we continue to gain market share. In 2021, we represented less than 1% market share in North America land, chemistry sale operations, and unconventionals. And currently today, we represent 13%, which is an indication of our rapid growth of the business over the last 3 years. Throughout this process, we've continued to improve adjusted EBITDA as a percentage of revenue. We've had our 11th consecutive quarter of improvement. And also, we returned to giving industry guidance in terms of operations. And this year, our adjusted gross profit margin guidance of 18%-22% and adjusted EBITDA from $10 million-$16 million. We've continued to improve the liquidity as we've had an asset-based loan. We declined our pool on that by 58% compared to the year end of 2023. All of these metric performance improvements are shown to show that we are continuing to grow the profitability of this business and gain market share, even in what we consider to be tough market conditions. When you look at it from a revenue performance standpoint, the majority of the team that came on board here came on at the end of 2019, where the company was in a revenue and profitability decline. By the end of 2020, as we exited COVID, we put together a new 3-, 5-, and 10-year strategy focused on chemistry as that common value creation platform with what we consider to be a full cycle chemistry and data analytics sales. We started executing this plan in Q1 2021, and as you can see, we've seen rapid growth of not only revenue, but also significant improvements in profitability for 11 straight quarters. Looking at it from an adjusted EBITDA standpoint, we mentioned earlier that Q1 2024 adjusted EBITDA increased $8 million over Q1 of 2023 as our 11th consecutive improvement. And again, if we hit the midpoint of our 2024 guidance, this would indicate an 800% increase in adjusted EBITDA going forward. The fantastic thing about this is that, you know, you've seen consistent pressure in commodity pricing from the price of natural gas, but yet our numbers are continuing to outperform the industry as not only we're getting record profitability improvements, but also seeing this continue throughout what we see in the next 2 to 3 years as continued growth inside the organization. It opens up a multitude of opportunities. We continue to diversify our revenue stack and improve our EBITDA stack as well. Looking at the segments in a little bit more, I would say, detail, we talk about our chemistry technologies as proprietary chemistry based on sustainable and renewable resource green technologies. We have a unique process as we work with our not only our E&P operators, but also our oilfield service companies in that we provide customized solutions based on our prescriptive chemistry management. We utilize over 20,000 wells of data that we completed in the last 20 years. And for that, we use backdoor AI analytics for what we call chemometric modeling to identify what is the best chemistry that goes into how we design and customize these wells, looking at a multidisciplinary approach of, you know, what does the formation look like? What's the target zone? What makes up these geological formations? What does the hydrocarbon composition look like? What is the fracturing water and what is the connate water? All these interact to help us design our prescribed chemistry cocktail, as we would call it, to ensure that we minimize formation damage and improve production over the life of the reservoir. At the cornerstone of a lot of our technologies is what we call our complex nanofluids, or CNF technologies. These help reduce interfacial tension in the reservoir and allow oil to overcome free energy to flow. And what we've seen is over 3,000 wells studied in the last, since 2021, that when our chemistry is used like-to-like against our competitors, we improve that overall production by over 26% in the first 24 months of flowback. And this calculates to almost 75,000 barrel of oil equivalent, which is a significant uplift improvement over these wells' performance. And it gets down to leveraging our unique intellectual property and our specific customized engineering approach through our prescriptive chemistry management business. Now, transitioning to what we talk about, our unique data analytics component is one of the things that we looked at is we've been fundamental in chemistry for two decades. But when you look at it from a backbone of how do you make chemistry business better, well, you take real-time data measurements and use these with AI, et cetera, to advance chemometric and property modeling. And so with our acquisition of JP3, we now have a unique technology that uses near-infrared and Raman technology to leverage potential chemistry sales and data as a service in the midstream, upstream, and downstream businesses. Now, traditionally, our midstream business has been very good when we look at reed vapor pressure monitoring, transmix, et cetera. But what we're really excited about is this $1.2 billion upstream market where we leverage our presence of our chemistry business to pull to a multitude of field applications. We look at how do we, the quality of field gas for power generation on dual fuel pumps, or we look at turbine generation for electricity to run various types of equipment, whether you're drilling or fracturing. We look at chain and custody measurements to where we see, you know, what is the hydrocarbon composition breakdown? Because traditionally speaking, resource owners are paid on a composite sample taken one time every 9 months. We can actually provide a compositional analysis every 3 seconds of measurement to ensure that we're getting all the value of the hydrocarbon on the train, gas, et cetera. Also, if you're familiar with the Quad OB and Quad OC EPA regulations that went into effect in May, we are one of the only real-time technologies in the world that can monitor flaring and methane emissions in real time at the well site. This is a distinctive competitive advantage for Flotek going forward. The other thing that we want to mention in this opportunity here is that Our JP3 measurement strength in the midstream and production side of the business is gonna allow us an opportunity to potentially automate production chemistry going forward, which is a $6 billion chemistry market that we currently don't play in, are now utilizing JP3 to begin to pursue, as this will help not only from a bring greener and sustainable technology to production chemistry, but also reduce the potential carbon footprint as we could take out some of the transportation and trucking costs from all the field testing that's required. We're really excited about how our data business is gonna help create synergy with the chemistry business, and not only help us improve our total operations for E&P operators, but also improve what oilfield service companies can do. We consider ourselves to be the handshake between total cost of ownership and environmental cost of ownership for the future social license to operate in the oil and gas industry, as we look for the overall energy groups to make kind of a diversification or an energy transition that works in harmony in an ecosystem between all the various renewable resources and how hydrocarbons can help, you know, lead that transition. Looking at some of the more we talked about, you know, these specific applications. One of the data analytics components that we're really excited about is our brand new CalX measurement, and that actually works in coordination with Raman in terms of looking at what is the best methods for monitoring flaring and measuring more across a multitude of chemistry landscapes. We're also adding into these measurements what we look at in the aqueous phase going forward, and this provides substantial hard analytical data for us to do the chemometric modeling on to improve overall chemical and reservoir performance for all of our operations. We're really excited, as I mentioned earlier, around what we're gonna see with EPA flaring, particular applications here. When you look at us being able to monitor, and if you look at the pictures here on the right, this is an actual Verax unit sitting on location monitoring flaring applications. What's unique about this is that the only other comparable things out there right now, take sampling. Sampling can introduce error. There's a lot of different pieces. It has to be mobile applications. These can stay on, run year-round, or they can be moved site to site, but preferentially leave them running year-round to ensure that, you know, that these flares are of quality and you're reducing the amount of methane emissions by looking at net heating value. Currently, there's over 55,000 wells in the United States that need this type of flare monitoring, and there's not enough equipment out there to do it. This is a huge opportunity for us to expand our footprint in operations and measurement techniques going forward as we look at full-time things of sampling and reporting back for these E&P operators. When you look at the overall business and the outlook where we are is that, you know, Flotek is moving into its next phase of transformation as we continue to expand our revenue and also our profitability. We look at these huge applications of that $1.2 billion market for our data analytics, particularly around this $700 million piece on the flare monitoring and transmix, I mean, chain of custody, as part of our Measure More strategy. More importantly, we look at the opportunities to do production enhancement, production chemistry, which would open up an over $6 billion market for our chemistry business as we have target market share growth for completions, productions, and overall data as a service businesses, which will continue again to diversify our organization, leveraging our chemistry as a common value creation platform that grows sustainable revenue, and more importantly, expansive EBITDA improvements, which will lead to improvements in market capitalization of the overall company. More importantly, we've been doing this growth with a very, very clean balance sheet, minimal capital investment. We carry essentially very little debt with exception of our ABL, which we're only toting about 0.3x leverage on currently. We've also got this very light capital spend in our production and chemistry production because we have current existing facilities all throughout North America and the Middle East that overall are only about 29%-30% utilized on the single day shift. We could see revenue expansion of almost 2.5x-3x without having to do any meaningful capital investment for growth. We've also looked at the majority of the capital that we'd be spending going forward would be put into the production of our CalX and Verax units for real-time measurements that we carry on as part of our data as a service revenue components. We'll also be looking at expansion of our transportation to help control our cost in terms of operational costs. And most importantly, we'll be doing this with minimal SG&A. As we continue to grow, we feel like we have the executive team here that we've rebuilt in the last year. This group here has over 150 years of experience between us and growing businesses well in excess of $1 billion. So really exciting times here for Flotek. And we feel that, again, we go back to it's a very much a compelling investment opportunity as we'll continue to drive market share growth in the oil and gas and oil field services sectors and looking at how we transition to this real-time data as a service business going forward. So with that, we'll wrap up this short deck of slides and open up the floor for any questions.
So if there are any questions, if you could type them in and we'll try to address anything that anyone has. We'll give it another minute or so to compile questions. If not, we'll wrap up. So the question from the group here is, can you talk about data as a service business in more detail? What is the business model? What are the margins? Who are the customers? What kinds of return do customers get? How's the pipeline? And do you go to and how do you go to market?
So there's a lot of components built in that question. So I'll try to break them down. First off, we look at the business in terms of the upstream, midstream, and downstream in terms of how we look at the market and market segmentation. Currently, we don't do a lot in the downstream business. I would say that market is pretty much dominated by gas chromatography. It's been around for decades, and it doesn't, you know, there's a lot of auto sampling that takes place and going there. As we move into the midstream business, a lot of our target customers there are those like 1OK, Phillips 66, the people that own a lot of oil field infrastructure in terms of pipelines and refining facilities. And we've got over, I would say, 1,000 measurement points in this current infrastructure there where we look at transmix. The value creation point from transmix comes that anytime they're flowing different hydrocarbons, when they go from diesel to jet kero to different components, there's an intermingling of fluids that takes place. And traditionally, they have to flow these fluids for 10 seconds, roughly break to break up the difference in that transmix because they're not really sure when the cutoff takes place and they don't want any contamination. And for every second that flows, that average cost of recleaning is about $40,000 a second. Using our JP3, we can actually cut that from 10 seconds down to 4 seconds because we can see the clean cutoff of when that takes place. And so if you're shaving off 6 seconds at $40,000 a second, that roughly saves them about $250,000 every time they do a transmix change, just to give one example of how it creates value in the return. The other things that we see in the midstream part is around reed vapor pressure and how we expand fluid volume. So traditionally, we can monitor, we can push an RVP measurement on a barrel from 6 up to 9. And in doing so, we do it with like butane, et cetera, and that allows them to get more volume out of a current flow by using a lower cost option to pushing this RVP up. In most of the facilities, we see anywhere from $750,000 to over $1 million of value creation per measurement point annually. Some of these fluids will have, some of these facilities will have 10 to 15 measurement points. When we move up into the upstream pursuit places, these are all the major E&P companies, the Devons, the ConocoPhillips, you know, Marathons, et cetera, looking at flare monitoring. And all of these, most of the things that we do inside the upstream business operate on 3-5 year contracts as data as a service, where there is a rental rate or test rates or a hybrid system between a capital investment followed by a service with our software and data components. We also look at the power generation piece. Some of the big customers there, the pressure pumping companies that utilize dual fuel applications where they want to burn field gas for power. Traditionally speaking, field gas has been frowned upon using for power because the BTU quality of the fuel goes up and down. Our JP3 unit actually goes out on what we call an F3 fuel skid, and so we can detect the BTU quality every 3 seconds. If we see an acceleration or an elevation of the BTU that could potentially cause damage to the turbine and or the pressure pumps, we will then close the valve. It diverts to a distac. It's blended down with CNG, and in doing so, it allows that BTU count to come down without ever having to take the pump off of the field gas, which gives it a high conversion rate over diesel. The first two pads that we put this on in terms of the conversion rate, we saved 1.2 million gallons of diesel from being burned. So significant improvements in not only cost, but also we look at a carbon and EPA footprint. We can actually generate an EPA rating per stage utilizing this equipment. And then, you know, and then finally, we look at a lot of the landowners, target landowners, trust aspects, and EMP operators and resource owners for chain of custody monitoring, where we would basically place one of the JP3 units at a specific junction where we bring 10 to 15 wells together looking at this compositional additive. And we suspect there are hundreds of thousands of these locations to where you can see 10 to 25% variance on an annual or daily basis, which could leave up to $50 billion of revenue not being achieved or payments being taken place because they're not fully realizing what the compositional analysis of this produced hydrocarbon is. So those are, when we kind of break it down by segment, key customers, when we look at margin basis, we haven't really given much guidance on this, but I'll tell you, muscle rental gross margin on all the operations in the data analytics business are well over 50%. So it's very much accretive as we continue to grow this business.
So real quick, the next question is, you did not give specific revenue guidance for full year for fiscal year 2024, but said generally revenue is flat year over year. What could drive top line results going into 2025?
Yeah, so when I look at it from the revenue guidance that we did, we stuck more to where we were on gross margins and EBITDA. Mainly being is the volatility and activity of the market driven by two characteristics. As we wrapped up our plan in December, you saw the guidance on total frac fleets through North America land, as well as the rig counts were given some growth throughout 2024. And we've all seen that stay flat to down, right? And a lot of it has to deal with the pricing of natural gas, where natural gas has stayed pretty weak, but we do see strength in the contango going curves going forward, particularly we look to be realized in 2025. How does that really impact Flotek's performance? Well, if you look at one of our largest customers being ProFrac, they're extremely strong in a lot of the gas markets, particularly the Haynesville, which is East Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana. And also we look at stuff activity in the Northeast that's been impacted by the natural gas pricing. So I do suspect, you know, when you look at average frac fleet activity year on year will be down anywhere from 5 to 8%, but we're going to be flat to up on the revenue, and we're going to be significantly improved on EBITDA. For 2025, though, we do expect to see a bigger growth component as we start to see the activity from natural gas come back into play. You know, we look at our business as a potential hedge against that because, you know, in reality, our ability with our data analytics business and our unique chemistry is very, very conducive to natural gas markets. And we do feel that that's going to be very strong for us in what we see in 2025.
Yeah, just to give everyone a little bit of flavor of what the pricing outlook looks for natural gas, currently the spot prices are about $2.87 per MCF. When you look out into December of 2025, gas prices are forecasted to be $4.27. So obviously, higher prices is going to incentivize producers to increase activity, which we think ultimately Flotek chemistry will be the beneficiary of, particularly in the Haynesville. So we got time for one more. Your data as a service was almost 50% of revenue in Q1. Where do you think that percentage of total revenue can go?
Yeah, this is a great question because it really discusses an evolution of the business. Because when we acquired JP3, towards the back half of 2020 and for the first couple of years, this is almost 100% capital sales of just instrumentation while we were improving our manufacturing costs, also bringing down our ability also to manufacture rapidly as we look to pursue the data as a service business. In 2023, we saw a 200% increase in our data as a service component of the revenue, which got into the 23-25% is revenue. We've seen that now grow, almost doubling in size to being 50% of the revenue so far in the first half of the year. We expect that to continue to grow, and we look for it to be between 60-70% of the revenue by the end of the year, which if you're seeing, you know, 40% revenue growth last year, we expect 50% revenue growth in 2024, and you're doing 200-300% improvements as data as a service. This is a very rapid growth of this business. As we're not only doing the conversion over, but we're also growing total number of units moved. So we're really excited about the direction of that business. And what that's creating is a 3- and 5-year backlog of revenue as compared to one-off capital sales, which we'd recognize up front. This is much more accretive to the business. And more importantly, with the growth rate of this business or this segment, you could potentially see a EBITDA multiples of these ranging over 15-22 EV to EBITDA. And so we looked in 24-36 months, the standalone value of the data segment could be more than the current capitalization of the current company. So it's some exciting embedded components that we look at for the overall performance and the financial strength of the business.
All right, well, we are about out of time, so we will turn it back over to the operator for wrap-up. We appreciate everyone attending and the questions, and we look forward to having some one-on-one meetings with some of you guys tomorrow.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. That concludes Flotek Industries Incorporated presentation. You may now disconnect. Please consult the conference agenda for the next presenting company. Thank you. iAccess Alpha will be hosting 4 virtual investor conferences a year. Their next virtual conference will be the iAccess Alpha's Buyside Best Ideas Falls Conference 2024, held on September 24th and 25th, 2024.